Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
This week's episode of Talking Simpsons is brought to you by Geek Fuel. Go to geekfuel.com/lasertime to sign up for a box of geeky goodies sent to you directly. And if you sign up through geekfuel.com/lasertime, you will get an exclusive Star Wars item worth $20 added to your first box.
Ahoy hoy everybody, welcome to Talking Simpsons, where we're all proud subscribers to Teen Steam Magazine. And today's episode is the season 2 episode, Bart's Dog Gets an F. As always, I am your host, Bob Mackey.
Wow, Bob
Mackey! Okay, thank you. I am Bob Mackey, your host. Who else is here today for this glorious occasion?
Christopher Adista.
Henry Gilbert.
I'm Teen Scream cover boy Dave Rudden.
I'm Henry Cody Gilbert.
Corey, yes. There are 8 of them, apparently, according to this episode. Today's episode is Bart's Dog Gets an F. It aired on March 7th, 1991. Chris, what was going on in the universe on this historic day?
Well, Bobby, Chris Rock makes his SNL debut, Arthur Murray dies, and Rodney King is freed from prison, which resolves all issues of police brutality forever after.
Oh, thank God that happened.
Oh, boy.
Knowing Chris Rock's tenure on SNL, I bet he debuted at like 12:50 for the next 18 months.
He probably didn't do much that first few episodes.
Yeah. He was a featured player.
Pretty much his entire tenure, except for Nat X.
They call it the bailiff role. There's a court sketch and you will be
or
the bailiff.
Or, as Tomato said, the other black guy. Because he was with Tim Meadows for a very short period of time.
No, it was Tracy Morgan who identified himself as the other black guy to Tim Meadows.
Yeah, but I mean, when Chris Rock came on, Tim Meadows was already there at that point. Everyone was always the other black guy to Tim Meadows. Mm-hmm. And then Tim Meadows left, and then
it was a while before they cast two black people ever.
If you have the fucking balls to do an SNL show by show episode, I will kill you.
That would take.
The most sacrilegious thing is I barely have watched the first 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. 80 to today, I've watched them
you
all.
Have not. Oh, wow. You have not watched the Julie Louise Dreyfus,
I have.
Tim
I had,
Kazarinsky
I had,
eras.
I had Comedy Central in the late 90s.
Worst. They'd play them all the time, but I had to watch them. You know, we just did that nerd episode. We should have talked about the Loopners from the Bill Murray and Gilda Radner.
I totally meant to mention them because that was the first time a butt crack was shown on television.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow, but that's in my 5-year blind spot. Which is the one that the area that everybody loves.
They were on Nick at Night, and my father bought me all the DVDs with all the Gil Scott Heron musical performances intact. But this is a Simpsons show. Bob, grab the reins.
This episode has an historic occasion in it. It is the guest appearance of Tracy Ullman, who would sue the show a year later.
Did you end up finding... I've only heard that one information on Conan O'Brien's Serious Jibber Jabber, where he talks with the writers, and
he talks with Al Jean, Mike Reese, and Jay Kogan. I think it's Walidarsky.
They make a passing reference to a lawsuit with Tracy Ullman, which sounds like either is still in litigation or was settled out of court.
It was settled in 1992. Mm-hmm. If you Google it, there are like Variety articles from 92 saying like, don't have a cow, Tracy. Things like that.
Go home!
What happened was it's really simple. Of course, Tracy Ullman had contempt for this thing because
it overshadowed her show.
Not just that, but it was also stealing her talent away. Like, oh, we need to record lines. Let's get Dan and Julie in here when they're working on sketches and doing other things on Tracy Ullman's show.
So there was a time where they were simultaneously in production.
Yeah, I mean, The Simpsons and Tracy Ullman.
Shorts.
Yeah,
on the shorts, yes.
I mean, the shorts specifically. Apparently, there was a deal in Tracy Ullman's contract where she would get between 5 to 10% of profits from characters that sprung from the show. But it was ruled that The Simpsons were not Tracy Ullman show characters. characters because they were created by Matt Groening as interstitial pieces. So she wanted, I believe, $2.5 million.
That seems which is a pittance.
Almost light. Like,
which is nothing compared to what The Simpsons made. They could have just thrown her a bone.
One Duffman figure.
Yeah. But I believe like she was making snarky comments to the press before this that like, oh, they started on my show and no one cares about me anymore and things like that.
Well,
yeah.
Their show had been canceled to this point. And that, you know, Matt Groening on the commentary is nice enough about it. He said that he wanted to have her on the shorts, but she said she was too busy.
I partially believe that she was running a show, but I also feel like, who cares about this cartoon? I'm doing a sketch comedy show. Fuck you.
And then hearing that it was Walidarsky on there on that interview with Conan, Al Jean, who still is an executive producer on The Simpsons, had to be very nice about it and would not comment. But the Walidarsky was just like, she hated the show when it was there. And then when it started making money, she's like, it's like they took my children from me.
Exactly,
like,
yeah.
They did not. But this is during the honeymoon phase, I guess, or maybe she was trying to show like, no, we're friends. I'll be on your show
I think it was a show of good faith. Like, hey, maybe I want to work with you. Maybe we can talk about this. But I think she is why we never saw season zero on DVD. As rough and bad and ugly and off model as it is, I still want that preserved on DVD as like a historical piece because everything that's online.
It's not on DVD, is it?
Well, aren't they all extra? Aren't most of them extras?
Some of them are
extras. No, they were on the 138th episode Spectacular.
Maybe
that's it.
That's
all I can remember is Troy McClure's face.
Yes.
They changed a bit, have they?
Exactly. And like the only way you can see the rest of them is on YouTube, recorded on Comedy Central 15 years ago with the bug in the corner on like SLP mode. So I want to see these things preserved in the pristine. You can see the work of David Silverman and all those great animators doing what they can with what they have. Yeah. I just want to preserve.
You watch them grow and change as it goes. Yeah.
That is really weird that has not seen the light of day.
And some of those later Omen shorts, they're not written as well, but they look better than season one and two.
Yeah.
Like, there's something happening in them.
One of you showed me, it was astonishing, like, because you only have probably seen the grotesque Tracy Ullman show shorts.
There's one on the 138th episode Spectacular where Bart's like
scuba diving.
Yeah, scuba diving. It's like, this looks better than that Some Enchanted Evening.
Yeah, it looks way better than what they would do for the next couple of years. So I don't know how that happened, but
weird.
Well, I think it's like, I only have to animate two minutes of animation instead of a 20-minute show.
There's you can put a lot more work into it. Yeah,
I'm all concerned. Did we present that The Simpsons premiered on the Tracy Ullman show? You should know that. Otherwise, you're not going to like the rest
of
the show.
I would hope if you're listening to this.
Yeah, in what, like 87?
I know. I'm just getting yelled at from my friends who listen to our shows but aren't as dorky as us.
I've definitely
using
been told
too much
to get a little more context and explanation.
I'm sorry. I thought I explained it.
No, I'm blaming me. Like, we all know. Yeah. We all know where The Simpsons came from.
So Bart Stogg gets an F.
Yes. Finally, we're here. She plays Emily Winthrop. I don't think we hear her name that often, and Mrs. Winfield. But
it's one of the few names you see because she has a little thing in her desk.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, and I think we talked about this before we recorded. Like, I confuse this episode a lot with Dog of Death from next season. There's a lot of similar stories.
Episode.
It is a better episode. Yeah. I agree.
And they both get like weird classical dog montages.
it's the
same.
And when I rewatched or when I would see Dog of Death, I thought, hey, if 8% of this is just taken from that episode, like you needed a couple more shots of Santa's Little Helper doing stuff, and so they just took it from this episode. And Santa's Little Helper had barely done anything on the show since the Christmas special. He did something in the Thanksgiving special, and then maybe four other jokes ever. Yeah. This then brings him back.
Which we will now refer to as SLH, because we got time, baby. Time.
SLH is the worst dog of all time in this episode.
I think Dog of Death gets the advantage because it was written by John Swartzwelder.
Mm. Yeah.
And I thought this one was, because he writes like the dog stories and the Homer stories, because they're essentially Homer is a dog.
Frank Welker credited this time.
Whenever there's a lot of SLH material, he handles the voice, not Dan Castellaneta.
First dumb clip I have is we're like 10 minutes into the show now.
Hey, that lawsuit was important.
Like, the episode is set up as Santa's Little Helper's a bad dog and Lisa's sick with the mumps. The first clip I had that, like, I don't get this and I hope somebody does. Marge calls Dr. Hibbert.
Mm-hmm. Hello, Dr. Hibbert? This is Marge Simpson.
Not that I'm angry, but how did you get my home number? I see. Quite ingenious.
What does that mean?
Well, it's just the joke is that the joke is not being told.
Yeah.
And
it is impossible then for her to find his home number. So it's the joke is for you have to make it up in your mind.
It's kind of like a Where is Springfield joke. It's like, it's contrived. That's the joke. Like, we're not going to tell you. We need Marge to call Hibbert. But her having his number would be a weird thing to do. So they can't explain it, so they don't.
I mean, I just love
what?
This is something I just discovered watching this time. Wait, so they don't say why, but he said so clever. So I guess that's kind of a joke in the way that she found it.
And that's satisfying to you?
Oh, it is, because it's just like...
It counts as a joke.
Yeah.
It's the writers being writerly about, like, we couldn't think of it, so we're just denying
exactly. They're hanging a lantern on the fact that they couldn't think of a good way.
I guess I was hoping you guys would have, like, an answer from the commentary or something.
But we do see Hibbert at his most Cosby. He is literally...
distracting now.
His male son... looks exactly like I grew up in Tallahassee, Florida, near the University FAMU, the oldest historically black university, according to its Wikipedia. That's what they call it, historically black. All the bootleg Bart shirts, that's what he looked like.
Oh, wow.
Green shirts.
Black Bart.
Bart.
By the way, the phone that he's using is way bigger than his head, which is very unrealistic.
Wow.
And so then Lisa gets the mumps. It's revealed she has the mumps, which I looked this up too. I never, in my youth, when I was Lisa's age, I had never heard of anyone getting the mumps. Gotten it. And I looked up how rare it was. And back then it was very rare too, because it was a easily preventable vaccinated disease. Guess what? We've had some recent outbreaks of mumps in the last few years.
Jenny McCarthy, what are you doing?
It's only because you were saying that in another episode that it's the writers growing up in the 70s.
Yeah.
And when in the 80s, I grew up with like the pamphlet would bring up fevers and chickenpox and mumps. I'm like, what the fuck is the mumps? I've never seen it before, and like, but I was cautiously aware of mumps at the time. I'd never known anybody who had it.
By the 80s, it was a vaccinatable disease.
Yeah, I think it was like called the MMR shot, measles, mumps, rubella.
Exactly,
and you got them all at
that's
once.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It, yeah.
And then for life.
You have to update that, apparently.
Uh-oh.
I've had the last time I had a checkup, they're like, I think it's been a while since you had your MMR shot, so we're going to do that. And I was like, MMR, what?
Clearly,
I haven't been to the doctor in a while.
I'm not even sure if swollen cheeks are a symptom, but I believe the director was like, that's just the best shorthand we can come up with for her being sick.
No, The Simpsons have colored this in my
head. That or her playing Crash Bandicoot.
Yeah, that too, yeah.
But Santa's Little Helper's acting up. This is a long clip, but it's Homer being so mean to a character we never meet again.
I love the
old lady.
Homer locks him up in the backyard and he gets free. Mm-hmm.
She does come back though, Chris.
She's around, but she never talks for this long.
Oh, no. And she's only voiced by Tracy Ullman here.
Yeah. Oh, is that who?
This is Tracy Ullman.
She does double duty.
Yellow.
Simpson, this is Sylvia Winfield. That canine of yours is in my pool again. I'm calling the dog warden right now.
Oh, are you? Well, you go ahead and call your precious dog warden, your battle axe, because my dog is tied up in the backyard.
There's only one family on this block. No on earth inconsiderate enough to let a monster like that roam free.
Oh. Are you losing your hearing, or are you just stupid? I am going to explain this to you one more time, and then I'm going to hang up on you. It is not my dog. I tied my dog outside myself. I am looking at him right now.
That's my line of the show.
Not
mine.
Your precious dog, warden.
It's legitimately good acting once again.
It is my dog.
My dog.
I do want to say I was surprised to hear Tracy take on more than one role. Everyone like that.
I love slandering her because I don't love a lot of her stuff, but she is so good at characters. Yeah. Really good at characters, and that's the only... And this character and the one we'll meet in a few minutes.
I know Dog of Death tackles this, too, but, do you guys have... I feel like it was a way more suburban thing to have your dog run away than... people in the city...
And just get a call from somebody else, it's over here.
Yeah, whereas, I don't know, people in the city... I see people who have their dogs out without leashes and, go to parks and the dogs just play, and I'm like... My dog would have just fucking bolted and went for the hills. And I don't know if that's because I was a shitty dog owner, but...
I grew up in Florida in the woods.
Yeah.
And, this doesn't even happen now. A gator will... A gator has eaten several of my friend's dogs. A friend of mine has been attacked by an alligator because it thought he was trying to go for his dog.
Yeah.
I do feel like dog anxiety, Dave, that you feel like... Because I grew up in the suburbs and not have a dog, but I felt like as soon as the dog left the fenced-in backyard, all bets were off. That dog is dead. It's in another state. Yeah. It's It's some other family's problem now.
Our dogs roam the neighborhoods free. And like develop packs and friendships. It was really weird.
So you had a feral dog colony in
Yeah, with a Westie.
Okay.
And a beagle. Like, wow.
And they were all fixed.
Your dog was like lunch meat.
Here's the big question. At some point, Homer sees Flanders. Mm-hmm. And find some shoes he aspires to buy.
The assassin. Yeah.
And well, let's hear this clip, and then I'll ask you.
Look at that ghetto heavy hands, ankle weights. That's cute. With assassins.
Oh, you betcha. You know, they got the Velcro straps, a water pump in the tongue, built-in pedometer, reflective sidewalls, and little vanity license plates.
How much?
Well, you know, they're not giving them away. But sometimes you've just got to spoil yourself.
Yeah.
Oop. My heart rate's dropping. Better skedaddly-doo.
Pretty great shoes.
Wow. What shoes do you think specifically they're parodying?
I think Air Jordans.
Oh, Air Jordans, for sure.
This was like the era where Air Jordans were getting popular. And the Reebok pumps.
I say no.
Yeah, there's definitely pumps involved in there, too. Yeah. But, well...
I say no.
Okay, what do you
say? What are they?
Around this period, the hottest shoe in my school, and I would have been fourth or fifth grade, was the Agassi. And in like in terms of looks, the Agassiz, and like it's a Jordan-esque shoe based off of a tennis player. Mm-hmm. So instead, it's just insane reflective material and Velcro straps and things in the back, like so many reflective things. There's like a 90s-esque tennis ball. The only thing you'd have to know it relates to tennis even slightly. It's a high top. They look like Agassiz. I would love to be wrong. I'd love you to point out in the comments, lasertimepodcast.com. Hit me up on Twitter. I think they're the Agassiz.
Well, so all I know is that it's called the Assassins because it is a somewhat callous joke about people being murdered for their shoes in the 90s.
I just got that now.
What's a callous? Yeah. In the early Foster the People made a great hit out of it.
That's true, yeah.
That's true, yeah.
The thing is, like, I think it's a joke. I mean, it literally is a joke that the shoes are tracking his heart rate. But there are literally things you can cram into your shoes now, or shoes that come equipped with, like, the Fitbit thing
Tons
or whatever.
Of
lady got a Fitbit for Christmas. You're welcome, baby.
Also, I still act like Ned when I see a dog, like, oh, you little baby boy. I do that with every dog I see.
How many of the elements of the Assassins made it into, what was it, the world's best belt, or the belt that Bart got a couple of years later?
There were no turn signals.
Yeah.
Before this, though, there's the bit where Bart tells Lisa, like, you've wasted chicken pox. Yeah. Don't waste them up. So, like, that was my thinking. I was way more Bart of just like, sickness means I can be lazy and school sucks.
I remember being
later.
Disappointed. Like, oh, fuck, my fever is breaking. Yeah. These 2 days have been the best.
I'm going to have to go back to school now.
Like, getting sick during the summer, this is a waste.
But in terms of a good Lisa moment, I love her conversation. I love Marge's whole spiel here about the Bouvier family quilt. And the music is great. And her flipping... Her whipping out the thread and throwing it around. She's the MJ of threading and knitting.
Well, Lisa, here it is. The Bouvier family quilt.
Wow, neat. It smells historic.
For five generations, women in our family have each added a square to it. Now it's your turn.
Oh, but I don't know how to sew.
Oh, yes, you do. You just don't know it. The memory of a million drop stitches flows in your veins.
Sorry,
she was great, and I liked the animation of Lisa thinking she has to try to do the flippy thing, and so she just she throws it in the air and like
the animation is a bit too much for the Simpsons in this episode, but like I don't know, in sequences like this it works really well.
Marge's sewing ability, hand sewing ability is pretty much gone now.
It came up in where she made the dress in that one episode.
She kept changing up her Chanel dress.
Well,
that's true.
Yeah, and she also has skills on the loom.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Really? Hi, Bart. I am weaving on a loom.
Yeah.
One of my favorite clips is Homer finally being tempted to buy the Assassins.
Oh. Assassins.
Oh, $125.
Sometimes you gotta spoil yourself.
But I can't afford to...
Simpson, I order you to buy those shoes!
Okay, Flanders, you're the boss.
This is the first time that The Simpsons made a joke with a recollection balloon. Bubble or whatever they are.
There was one in... what's one where Bart gets bullied by Nelson for the first time? Bart the General.
Yeah, Bart the General.
Where Homer's head appears, giving him advice, and then Bart gets beaten, and the head's just like, ugh. And then
Homer
turns away.
Shrugs his shoulders like, he tried to kick him in the balls, and it didn't work. And Homer goes, ooh.
What is up, Talking Simpsons fans? Chris here. Briefly jumping in to tell you this show is brought to you by Geek Fuel. And if you go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now, you can get a free Star Wars item worth $20 just for signing up for a mystery box. So what's in the mystery box, you ask? 6 to 8 items, an exclusive t-shirt, and a $50 value of Kit and Caboodle featuring famous stuff from Marvel, DC, Nintendo, Zelda, Game of Thrones, Pop Figs, pint glasses, posters. You never know quite what it's going to be, but it's like a delicious geeky gift that shows up at your door whenever you feel like it. And oh, guess what? They've had Simpsons stuff involved in the box in the past. So go to geekfuel.com/lasertime right now. Sign up for one of their boxes. Get it as a gift for a geek in your life and get a free $20 Star Wars item right now.
Wait, Chris, you skipped over Homer buying the teen magazines. That's the funniest part of the episode.
I don't have a clip of that.
Number one, isn't Lisa's 8? Is she that interested in all these teen
magazines? As an older brother.
I never had a sister.
My sister was full on to teen magazines, like at around 9 or 10 years old.
Yeah, an older sister, and that's true.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Well, and then second, yeah, just Homer. $2 magazines, which is a pretty good deal for magazines now. Yeah, but
seems kind of pricey.
$2 magazines is just the way the guy, the clerk looking at all the magazines.
That one was like, called Teen Steam.
Yeah, and just, I didn't really get that as a kid. That I got it was like, oh, that's fun. It's humiliating for Homer to buy these, but now it's really that the clerk thinks like, oh, Homer is into teen boys. he's a creep.
And I have the names of the magazines he didn't buy.
God.
I have Non-Threatening Boys, which is my favorite one. There's also Teen Scheme, Teen Spleen,
it's
like
Rascals magazine.
A bloody like logo. And there's also Martin Sheen's Teen Scene, which I guess is a joke. Go ahead, use that.
It's probably something the artist threw.
You're not meant to see that for very long. So
I think what hurts this episode just a little bit is that it's just a series of like many different scenes. Every scene is like, this is to introduce a new prize possession for this dog to describe. Like, it's just every time, like, all right, we're taking 2 minutes to introduce the next thing he'll destroy. Mm-hmm. Got it.
I feel like in this season, Principal Charming was my like ideal, like in terms of the mechanics of a story, everything worked perfectly. This is just very sloppy. I don't feel like things fit together that well.
No, there's a couple things skipped over.
Like, you're gonna lose out on jokes like this.
The quilt does come out of nowhere.
Yeah, her quilt.
This one's mine.
Keep on trucking? What does that mean?
I didn't know then, and I don't know now.
I remember finding shit in my parents' like box with "keep on trucking" shit on it, and all this Ziggy horse shit.
Watching this episode, I did ask my in the first run. I did ask my mom, "What does keep on trucking mean?" And she had a little better explanation than Marge. She was just said, there's this guy named R. Crumb who drew this thing, and
Mr. Natural, right?
Mr. Natural, yeah.
At a 45-degree angle.
Yes. Which Homer will do in Homerpalooza.
And he looks like Moses a little bit, right?
Yeah, that's Mr. Natural. Yeah. Not to be confused with Mr.
But
B.
they
Natural.
Couldn't get the rights to Mr. Natural. No. And instead, there's just like a yin-yang, right?
Yeah, it's just a dumb yin-yang, though. It also, Truckin' is also in a crappy, well, I mean, it's not crappy. It's a Grateful Dead song. It is what it is. But Truckin' like the doo-dah man.
I'll tell you what makes it even matter. Troy McClure just premiered.
Oh, yeah.
And
he,
the first time ever, he's voiced by someone who's not Troy McClure.
You know, Joe, yours is the only show I'll do.
As an actor, my eyeballs need to look their whitest.
Yeah. Why'd you do it? But a Joe Franklin joke, like, immediately followed.
Yeah, every clip from that series of clips was a previously used piece of footage.
Yeah.
So they overdubbed.
I think it was just filler and probably late in the game when they couldn't get Phil Hartman, because clearly Phil Hartman was around, but he was doing all these multiple voices, so maybe they're like, it's not in the budget for just a one-off Phil Hartman joke. We got to have him do 8 voices in the show.
Well, he's not in this episode
right?
No, so I feel like if they put
him
in this
episode, they would
have
to credit him and give him money from now until the end of time.
For just one line.
Or until 1999.
His orphan children would be receiving it right now.
My other thought was that
sorry for the darkness.
They've got Joe Franklin and they've got the Troy McClure show. It would imply that they have cable again. Which that's all the things they have on cable.
Continuity police.
Somebody got fired over that blood.
Finally introduced to Tracy Ullman's Miss Winthrop character.
Ladies and gentlemen, Most of you already know that with a little love and compassion, any puppy will grow up to be a cuddly little bundle of joy. Stuff and nonsense taught by charlatans and learned by bloody twits. Let me tell you the two most important words you will ever hear in your life. Choke chain.
I can't tell whether I love this character or hate him. I do love this British personification.
Well, they take Lucia's little helper to obedience because he destroyed the assassin.
Mm-hmm. That's right. He also ate a cookie.
That's later.
That's way later.
Didn't remember. Yeah,
Winthrop is she's Margaret Thatcher. Like,
oh, for sure. Yeah,
it's a very clear Margaret Thatcher.
Don't.
And that, I don't know, I only know to dislike Margaret Thatcher through British comedies of the 80s.
You're like, right to dislike her, Henry.
She sounds like a pretty bad lady.
I don't even like this episode very much, if you couldn't tell, but one of her lines runs through my head all the time, like, correct the dog!
Correct the dog!
Yeah.
Oh, what a nightmare. I do have that later on. I just have to get to this one. We started the show primarily because we've said we can speak Simpsons references as a language.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain weird things that are just part of my vocabulary now. Answering yes, like Mr. Burns.
I know what you're talking about. My quote of the episode.
It's the only takeaway from this episode, the one that we use all the time. Marge and Lisa are at home. Lisa's home from school, and they're watching soap operas.
Jack, I think the baby might be yours.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure it is, Dollface. But I'd like to see you prove it.
You treat me like garbage.
That's because that's the way you love it, baby.
Gee, is it always this good?
I don't know. I just step in and out. I'm only watching today because Brandy is coming out of her coma and she knows the phony prince's body is hidden in the boathouse.
So not too lovely as a response. Is it always this good?
Yeah. So Marge's way of explaining her, I don't watch it all the time. Mm-hmm. I just, and then all this thing. That's mm-hmm. probably how, like, when I talk to people about wrestling for the first time, I'm like, oh, yeah, I like wrestling. By the way, I think Roman Reigns was better in 2014, and now he's being overpushed, and blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. No, definitely had memories of being Lisa's age and staying at home with my mom. My mom works all the time. She was not a homemaker like Marge, but she come home for lunch, and at lunchtime she would watch All My Children or Young and the Restless, and I'd watch it with her.
Like, it was for me, it was the old ladies in the neighborhood.
Yeah, the old ladies all watched soap operas. Babysat me, and there's this old lady. She watched multiple soap operas a day.
But this clip, this is my biggest laugh of the whole episode.
Father McGrath, I thought you were dead.
I was.
We definitely
all see to you won't get Apricot 1.
Oh, yeah.
That's a later one, I'm sorry.
And so another thing,
Search for the Sun is the name of that soap opera.
I feel like I'm talking through my
clips
here.
Pops up every now and
I think Mo would eventually be a character in like
9 years.
Yeah,
he would be
years.
On Search for the Sun.
Yeah.
That's right. Wow.
One of the fun things.
A facelift.
One of the fun things I noticed: Homer's in the mall, and he gets pitched on a cookie, which is $1. Homer, Jesus Christ,
$1 cookie. Pretty good.
But the woman giving him the pitch hasn't really been seen since the first episode. She's the one who gives him his check.
That's right.
At the end of Simpsons roasting him on an open fire. She's drawn the same way, but she's in a luau getup,
bikini top and a grass skirt, which was also a weird message that it confused me that, like, well, if you're drawing a sexy character, I feel like I thought the animators wouldn't have put nerdy glasses on her, like that she's nerdy from the neck up, but in a sexy outfit.
Unappealing, like almost all Simpsons characters.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Would you like a free sample?
The price is right.
Macadamia nuts.
If you'd like to buy some, they're only $1 each.
Oh, so that's your little plan. Get us addicted, then jack up the price. Well, you win.
I shouldn't have captured that. Like, the amount of crumbs he spits all over.
Oh, yeah, they're all over
his
shoulders.
They're on his shoulders. Yeah. Like, the spread on that is so funny.
And I do feel like this is a very specific joke in which, like, malls at the time would just have the omnipresent giant cookie place. Like, I think it was called the original cookie.
The
for
Great
me.
American Cookie.
Oh, mine was the original cookie.
I can
cookie.
Confirm it is still the... It's the only thing still in the food court.
A giant cookie?
Like, Sbarro's gone. Giant cookies.
Wow.
So there.
Might also be the first instance of Homer adding to a word. Saxophone, obomabo.
Yeah, it's not one of my favorite affectations.
Trampoline.
But I also think Homer when he bought a giant cookie, would eat that giant cookie immediately. Yeah.
He
and
showed,
would not take it home.
He showed a lot of self-control with that cookie.
Though perhaps he bought like four cookies and that was the last one. And he's like, I'm just too full to eat a fourth cookie.
That would make his grief over it even greater, I think.
Glad you, because I don't know. This is where we're getting... We've gotten into that before, but when I'm talking about The Simpsons and watching it at the age I was, this is the thing I remember my dad losing his mind over. And it was all involving the cookie. Because, like, Homer puts the cookie aside, and Santa's little helper goes on, like, a spree of, like, destroying...
Well, he gets it immediately. Like, Homer is off-screen for one half a second.
But he's destroyed the assassin shoes. He's destroyed... And then he destroys the quilt. And this, I remember, my dad lost his fucking mind.
Come on, Homer. I want you to see what your sick little girl did. My quilt! Six generations ruined!
Now, Marge, honey, come on, don't get upset. It's not the end of the world. We all love that quilt, but you can't get too attached to... No! My cookie! This is not happening.
I love that part.
By the way, there is... I mean, I know there's macadamia nuts, but there's probably also chocolate in that cookie, so they should get that dog checked out.
Dump peroxide down his throat.
Now that I watched it as a kid, it definitely made... I was saying what they wanted me to say, like, not the quilt, but even though the second you see the quilt, you know it's getting torn up.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
But now...
It is this place for some weird E.T. music.
Yeah. Well, that's when they're united over their calluses, but...
They're both burning their fingers.
Yeah. But then, now I feel even worse. Poor Marge. Like, Marge suffers more than anybody in this episode. She lost something so important to her.
Priceless.
Like, a priceless thing that she had been waiting her entire life to share with Lisa.
Like, and all because the fucking dog, Santa's little helper, is being... They're paying for it to go to obedience school. He's not learning anything and just tearing everything else around the house apart.
Yeah.
Was one of you the ones with the story of the dog they had to give away?
I never gave away a dog.
Was that you?
Yeah, Dave? I've had a dog that just kept like biting us and would bark all the time. And my parents told me brought it to a farm. We gave it back to the people that adopted it to us, and they found a farm for it. And I believed it at the time, but now that I think about it, no.
You've never asked?
No, it was also one of the dogs. Like, I feel bad saying this, but like I've had like four dogs in my life, and this one was like at the bottom of the... It was just like this dog was a jerk.
He didn't want
it. Yeah.
Boy, that's funny. I had the opposite thing that happened to me. When I was one, maybe two, we had two dogs, a Dalmatian named Jenny, who I loved, and a beagle named Billy that they inherited or somebody gave them. And he was a jerk, and I was a one-year-old that like I think grabbed his tail or something, and he bit my face.
Ooh.
Until scar tissue heals on on little kids much faster. And I had a scar over my right eyebrow until like age six,
like Harry Potter.
And they didn't get rid of that dog. Dang. They didn't.
We see much later. Some animals are just jerks.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I never had a dog growing up. My sister was allergic, but one of my friends had a dog, and I dreaded going over. The dog's gonna jump on me. I'm gonna step in its shit. And then one day they're like, "Oh, we got rid of that dog." I'm like, "Thank God."
I hope my friend isn't listening. But I went over to his house. The dog did nothing but bark on me until I pet it. At which point it would pee all over me.
Jesus
Christ. So, like, either I'm standing and being barked at or sitting and being peed on, and like, dude, I hate your fucking dog.
Yeah.
I've never hated a dog this much before.
So, the friend of my older brother's who lived like right around the corner from us, they had a dog named Trouble.
Oh, Jesus.
And that dog would just brutalize. Like, he would run after you, bark like crazy. It was just the scariest dog I've ever encountered, Trouble.
So, much like those dogs, they decided they are going to get rid of Santa's little helper.
We never had a family meeting before.
We never had a problem with a family member we can give away before.
Homer, what are you saying?
I'm saying that it's fun of her! It's better than with the first
time! Okay, A, that's a great act break. B, you did not have the context, if you haven't seen the episode, for what Santa's little helper sees, which is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Like, dogs are more noticing your tone and mannerisms than they are understanding you.
Well, this is also how I learned the dogs see in monotone. Yeah. They see in black and white.
It does pay off later when he does understand certain things that are being said. That's what the big payoff
that's
is.
That's the best plotting of this. You said this is sloppy, and it is a bit, but that's the best
That works for me, I agree.
So the scene right after the commercial break, is so good.
No way! You can't give my dog away! I'll set fire to my hair! I'll rip up all my clothes! I'll put sugar in the gas tank!
Bart!
I've suffered as much as anyone at the paws of this dog. But when I look into his vacant brown eyes, I just can't bear to let him go. I'm sure Mom agrees with me.
No, I'm afraid I agree with your father.
You do?
Please, it's not just the quilt. He's a nice dog, but he chews up everything. He doesn't obey. He's not even housebroken. And we've spent all this money on an obedience school, and I don't see any improvement.
All right, all right. His Santa's Little Helper studies real hard and passes his finals and becomes a perfect dog. Can we keep him then?
No!
Dad, this is our pet. We can question his integrity and disposition, but we can't question his heart. Are you trying to teach us that the way to solve a problem with something you love is to throw it away?
Oh, Felicia, if they're ever going to pull the plug on me, I want you in my corner.
Oh, God. I didn't get that pull the plug on me joke as a kid. Definitely not.
I think it's funny how all the Simpsons men are the same, even the dog. They're all these screw-ups who are too stupid to understand why they're screwing up, and they can't help themselves.
This is like right in the area where the episodes start to work for me a lot, because it harkens back to the Bart gets an F.
Well, it becomes more about Bart than this from that point
on. Well,
but
just a loser who's trying, and like, I don't know.
Why? You want to deconstruct why that?
No, I just said why. Jesus Christ. I'm here drunk at 7 p.m. doing a podcast about
and
the Simpsons.
I think it's when Bart stops trying so hard is when Santa's Little Helper has a breakthrough, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. At the time, this was my favorite line. Mm-hmm. I think it was in the promos.
I said, sit. Take a walk. Sniff that other dog's butt. See? He does exactly what I tell him.
Did you notice they were in the section of called Cujo's?
No,
it was a quick joke.
But then he has to go to Miss Winthrop in like the same way he had to plead to Miss Krabappel and everybody else. Like, yeah, I'm just dumb.
Yeah,
I'm just dumb. He has to do it for Santa's Little Helper in the same season.
Miss Winthrop, I was thinking.
Good acting there.
Since you get paid either way, would it be a big deal to just let my dog pass?
I see. Rubber stamp, thank you very much. Next in line. Is that it?
Yeah.
Heavens to Murgatroyd.
Murgatroyd.
But perhaps I cling to the old ways like a well-chewed shoe, as the traditions I was weaned on are put to sleep or neutered one by one. But my time has not passed yet. The world does not need another college graduate who doesn't know how to sit.
He'll sit. He'll sit. Come on, boy. Sit. Sit. Blah, blah. Blah, blah.
Pull the chain.
Pull the chain.
Correct the dog.
Correct the dog.
Yeah, I like the college graduate who doesn't know how to sit. That's cute. I like that.
That makes the scene of him learning, I don't know, this scene is very...
This whole show
doesn't work for me, but this does.
I'm gonna miss you, boy. I thought we were gonna be pals forever. But we're gonna have to say goodbye. Because you don't understand a single word I say. If you just knew how important it was to learn blah blah sit. Wait a minute, you did it. Blah 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 blah. Lay down. Shake hands. Stay. Speak. All right, good boy.
I have goose pimples. It's so stupid.
I think it's really Nancy Cartwright's performance.
Totally.
Like in her breakdown playing Bart, and Bart gets enough.
Yeah.
That's a much better episode, but I think that performance really just soars above
what's
happening.
There was a performance from Bart last season where I just haven't seen him do that in years.
Also, Desperate Pleas.
Is that Bart the Genius?
No. I mean, season 26 or 27.
Oh, wow.
But seriously, he hasn't done that in a long time.
The joke right before that is so much darker to me now, where they're talking to the guy who will adopt. he's just like, they say they can't pull a car.
You think dogs can't pull carts, but they can.
Impatient people think that, but patient people know
better. I have
better.
To get to this before my battery goes dead. That's the only reason I'm blowing through these. My line of the show, you're welcome.
That's the joke.
You son of a bitch. Good show.
Was this not the first time you heard?
I never heard the term "you son of a bitch."
I think the first three seasons of The Simpsons, they swore a lot more just to break new ground and be a little more controversial, like "bastard." You know, the "bastard" song.
I was listening to an interview with Bill Burr, and he's got an animated show on Netflix called "F is for Family," which I think was designed for a regular network. Mm-hmm. And so the show is like timid and lame, and then all of a sudden, like fuck, and then right like the third episode. You just see a sack of balls slamming into a woman.
Whoa.
And that's like, and he was talking about like, yeah, Netflix is just like, could you just go further? Could you
Could
you just do more, like be more Netflix and like, yeah, do something crazy. And like it's in there for no reason. It's so jarring because the show's not like that. But yeah, the pressure from Fox, like you can't say whatever you want, but you think it was like, you were saying it's a British woman saying you son of a bitch.
To a dog.
To a dog.
Yeah.
Well, it took, this might just be me, but when I was in the fourth grade, we read Babe. This was before the movie was made about the pig. Yeah, it was a British book, a British children's book about the pig who becomes a sheep herder. The teacher had to tell us ahead of time, this is a British book and it uses certain words, including describing this main one of the major characters in it, the dog that adopts the pig, as a bitch multiple times because it is a dog that had puppies. That's what a bitch is.
And I love Marge's response to that much later in the show. Like that feels wrong somehow.
Yeah. Cutting all this, Henry. I can't believe you just went there.
And I also did not get the Animal House ending as a kid. Like it would be years before I'd see Animal House. So just the idea of like these people graduated. What do they do after they graduate?
I hope it's parodying whatever Animal House is parodying. That couldn't be an original Animal House.
And then they go more specifically to Animal House and Homer Goes to College.
It's true.
Also, there was a blue-haired dog, which I don't think ever happens again in The Simpsons. I think dogs just go back to normal color scheme.
No, nor is anything ever painted the wrong color in The Simpsons during the
seasons.
I liked
Martin's dog. He's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, Martin was in this episode. I forgot about that.
That's right.
So SLH is saved, and I guess we're done talking about Dog of Death.
I was burning clips off because the computer's going dead, so I didn't mean to rush through everything.
Oh, no. I mean, I feel like this is one of the weaker episodes. I'm not going to disparage it totally. Like, it has its great moments, but I feel like if Dog of Death did not exist, it'd be a much better episode. That's the one I like a lot more.
That's probably the most fair thing you could say.
There's more at stake, I think.
There's a better episode with the same subject matter that happens right afterwards. And something that like you can probably relate to a little more.
Yeah, like getting rid of a dog is kind of a, you know, like my family did it and I understood it at the time, but it's also like, that's giving up. But when your dog is so sick that it requires a multiple $1,000 surgery, that's like, you really got
to
think about
it. Yeah, my friend had to deal with, I've never had to deal with that in my own personal life. My friend did like $3,000?
Potentially put myself in some debt.
His father referred to the dog as the $5,000 cat for the rest of its life.
Oh, man. Bitter.
Well, at least it lived a long time.
No. Of course it didn't.
Oh, no.
Of course it didn't, but the money was spent.
That's the sad thing of like, as a kid, I was like, no amount of money is enough to save a pet's life. And it feels like that in the moment. And I've loved every pet I had. I'll have dreams about pets that I lost. But
what would happen to me if you came in here and tried to take my Amiibos? Like,
but
how much money I'd offer.
But if a pet only lived, if you got 3 months or 6 months out of thousands of dollars, in retrospect, it's very hard to justify for me now. Like, it's
prolonging the inevitable is always a bad bet. But you don't think about that when they're your pets.
That love gets in the way. So this has been Talking Simpsons. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode more than we did. Next one I think is a little better. So I've been Bob Mackey. I will continue to be Bob Mackey after this. And you can find me on usgamer.net, Something Awful, and I do the classic gaming podcast Retronauts. So listen to that, please. Everybody else, jump in.
Laser Time, the show that spawned all this stupidity, via patreon.com/lasertime, where you can still find exclusively the first season of Talking Simpsons, where you talk about the first 13 episodes. The roughest era of the show, the era of the show people complained about the most until the next 20 seasons.
And I'm Henry Gilbert again. That's H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter. And you should also listen to 302010, our new podcast, where if you like us talking about the dates and things that happened, that's all that show is, about 30 years ago, 20 years ago, and 10 years ago in pop culture.
I'd like to think of it as like a little portal you shoot to see exactly what's happening that week. And pop culture 30 years ago, 20 years ago, 10 years ago.
And also I do Cape Crisis, the comic book podcast.
I'm at Dave Rudden on Twitter, and I host the Cheap Podcast, the pro wrestling podcast. There was once a wrestler called the Junkyard Dog. It's really hard to find segues between pro wrestling and The Simpsons. I'm sorry.
Doggone it. Okay. Look how good we gotta go. What?
Look how good he is.
Me?
Look at you, Bob.
I'm sorry. Now I just screwed it up. Anyways, we'll be back next week with a better episode, I think. Later.
Wow, infotainment.